Good morning.
If you've got your Bible there, please turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Just going to read one verse from Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs is written by Solomon, words of wisdom, really contrasting life, how life could be walking with the Lord, or how life could be walking on your own with your own ideas. Little did Solomon know what was going to happen, that the empire was going to start fracturing and splintering, and trouble was going to come along. And I'm sure that at those times, people would be able to reflect upon the Proverbs and really seek God's guidance. And so the one I want to read is just Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The opposite of that, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. I think that's so true today, isn't it? That people don't know what makes them stumble. People don't get to hear the truth. They don't get to see what life is all about. They struggle. In our schools, in our colleges, in our universities, they're given an ideology and a worldview which doesn't work. Our society is showing us that again and again and again. But we have these words of encouragement, don't we? The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. That's God's promise to you. No matter what you are going through, no matter what you are going to face in the forthcoming year, you can grow. No matter how dark it may be, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how surprising it may be, no matter what becomes of this world, there is a promise here that you can shine ever brighter till the full light of day. That in the middle of the storm, you can shine brighter. That when everything around you has fallen away, dare I say it, even your friends, even those who supported you, you can still shine brighter. Because the path of the righteous, of those that seek God, who genuinely desire God, will be noticed by God, will be known by God. And there is nothing small and nothing insignificant in his world. So just use your God-given imagination right now. Just imagine that you're standing in a field, a beautiful green field, and the dawn is just starting. The sun is just starting to come up. And hear those words that God says to you. The path of my people is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. So think of those things just briefly that trouble you, that cause difficulty, that don't seem to go away, that you find hard, that you're wondering what's going on. And then take hope, because God says that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, and that no matter what you go through, even if some of you walk through death this year, that your life and his presence with you can be brighter and brighter until the full light of day, when you see him face to face. Because you were created to know God as a father. And righteousness is about following the right sort of conduct in that relationship. That relationship with the one who laid the earth's foundations, who shut the sea behind doors, who gave orders to the morning and showed the dawn its place. Yes, that's Job. He knows the nature and composition of every atom and every molecule. And he determines the numbers of stars and calls them by name. That's a psalmist. And he knows all about you. And you know, life is difficult at times. But he knows how to get you through it, not necessarily get you out of it, not necessarily change the things around you dramatically, but he knows how to get you through it in such a way that you will shine brighter. Even in that darkness, even in that hardship, you will shine. Even when you don't know what's going on, because he always knows what is going on. And he is about his business right this very second. Think of a surgeon who is partway through an operation. For a short time, things may seem worse than at the beginning. Somebody's been cut open. There's blood everywhere. There's a lot of people running around, but that surgeon knows what they are doing. They know what they want to achieve. And although it may seem that things have gone backwards, actually, what that surgeon is seeking to do is to bring things to that right conclusion, that objective he has in mind of healing and wholeness. And that is God's purpose for us, to know healing of mind, will, emotions, to know wholeness of coming back into that relationship with him. But all our righteousness, Isaiah says, is like filthy rags. We can't do it, couldn't do it. We'll never find that right standing on our own. But thank God, he doesn't expect us to. Because Scripture also says that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. That I haven't got to try and make myself loved. That I haven't got to try and earn love. I am loved. I am accepted. I have been proclaimed righteous by the highest court in the universe, resided over by the King of Kings, and he is our righteousness. But for me, what's for me then? If that has been done for me, my purpose, my life is to desire him. To seek him, to see him as he is, not to see my plan or my agenda first and foremost, because that can crumble and fall, and it may be precisely that, my plan, my agenda. But to genuinely seek to rest, to lean on his ways, to desire what is right. You know, the first written mention of the word righteousness is found in Genesis. God had just told Abraham, I am your shield and I am your reward and I will give you a son. And it's then that we read, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited to him as righteousness. That's the first written mention of righteousness in the Old Testament. Abraham believed, he trusted in, he leant upon, he leant on what God had said. He staked his claim on what God had said. And God credited to him. He conflated his strength. Think of somebody plaiting their hair. three strands coming together. Because Abraham leant on the ways of the Lord, God was able to conflate his strength with Abraham, to bring Abraham to his true self, the son he had always been created to be. And it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abraham was able to walk that straight path because he did so in the strength of another who said, "Trust in me." That word credited is also found in Romans. The words, Paul says, it was credited to him, were not written for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. When you trusted in him, all the resources of heaven were made available to you. Not some of them, not a few of them, but all of the resources, because the promises are what in Christ? They are yes in Christ. He was raised to life for our justification. Very simply, just as if we had never sinned, we have been born again. There is the well-known illustration of standing in a court of law before the supreme judge, and you haven't got a leg to stand on. And then Jesus comes in, and because of Jesus, you are pronounced not guilty. And that's where the illustration finishes, but it's not good enough. Because if you think about it, how many people in this room have a relationship with a judge? You don't. The real picture is this, that you're standing, as it were, in that court of law, with everything being seen, screaming out. But Jesus Christ is standing in front of you because you have asked him into your life. You are forgiven on the basis of the work of Christ. And then the judge comes down to you and says, "Today, I have become your father. Come into my family. Come walk with me." And so no matter what goes on in this forthcoming year, and we don't know, no matter how difficult it may be, we have to recognize that God says the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. That even if you are battered and bruised, you can shine. Even if you feel downtrodden, squashed, isolated, out of control, God says, if you desire me, if you seek me, if you come before me and just want to engage with me, I will strengthen you. I will encourage you. I will uplift you. I will help you. Of course, for that to come about requires that response for us, to submit to God so that we can stand in his strength. As we go out of this year into the new year, we're not called to be a protest movement. We're not called to continuously go on about what is wrong, but to serve the King of Kings, who is always right. To follow his example. As Peter said to a community that was soon to go through incredible persecution, Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He died so that we might live for righteousness, and by his wounds we are healed, having returned to the overseer of our souls. In other words, that no matter what we go through, no matter how much hardship there is, God says, I am in the process of restoring your life, of bringing you back to that place that I always intended for you as a son, as a daughter, as someone who belongs to me. And it's quite interesting to see what he means, the picture that Peter gives us and those around him who helped him in seeking God and writing this, behind that word example. It's a fascinating picture, and I want to share it with you as we come to conclusion to encourage you. Can you remember learning to write as a child? I know that's a long way back for some people, but can you remember how when you learn to write, it doesn't always go straight. Have you ever seen them? It goes down to the left. Any of you that have got grandchildren will see that in the next couple of years, especially the very young. So Giorgio, your granddaughter will do this. She'll write to you and the line will go down or it'll go up. It's very hard to get it straight. Heck, I even find it hard to get it straight as an adult. And the word that Peter uses, for example, actually comes from primary education. In a world where writing paper was very, very expensive, do you know, I even heard of a school that didn't have enough writing paper at the end of last term because of the cutbacks. Terrible, isn't it? But writing paper used to be made of bulrushes. They were very expensive, and because of this, children were given a small wax tablet, let's say like this. And in that wax tablet, the teacher would draw lines. That's the hupogrammas. And write a word across the top. And the child would then have to copy that word and to follow the line. And what the teacher would sometimes do was actually dig it into the wax and then takes the child's hand and follow it through that straight path. That is how God guides us. If we look at Christ, he walked with the Father in every way. Whatever he went through, he shone like the first light of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And God says to you and I that we can do that, that we can shine, that we can seek his face, that we can know him, that we can go deeper, that life, even though it's difficult, even though it's hard, doesn't have to crush us, doesn't have to cause us to fade. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. How is that expressed? How might that look for us as a church? Well, you could say, do you know what? I'm going to pray more for people this year. I want to desire the things of God. I'm going to pray more for people. I'm going to find out some of the things that are going on. I'm going to lift them to the Lord. I'm going to really, really engage in that way. You could say, well, I want to help with the newspapers. I want to express my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ more and more. Not because I have to, but because I want to. I want to find out about what's going on in our world. You could find out about some of the Christian organizations that are there that we support, CARE, International Justice Mission, Barnabas Fund. You realize that hundreds, if not thousands, have been released from slavery. Do you know that IJM, the International Justice Mission, is the largest anti-slavery organization in the world, and it is Christian? Do you realize that the largest group of people that feed others in this country is Food Bank? What are you doing? How do you shine his light? How do you share with your family and friends? And to be quite blunt, guys, sometimes it's just being yourself. Asking them how they are. Asking what's going on. Meeting up with them. That is enough.
Do you pray for your brothers and sisters in church who have husbands or wives or children or grandchildren that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Not by making them your project or going along to give them all your wonderful advice, but just saying, hey, Lord, it must be difficult at times. I want to lift this person to you. I want to lift that person to you. Tithing. Are you called to tithe? Do you tithe properly? That's part of walking with the Lord. God has given you, given me, given us so much. How much do we really need? Seeking his face. But always and ever coming to him first and foremost because you are a son or because you are a daughter. Because everything that Jesus did came out of his relationship with his Father. We've said it many times. Being like Jesus is intimacy with the Father and a reliance on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Everything came out of that. Everything. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, a challenge and an encouragement that you can shine, even if you're just holding on, just gripping, as it were, by your fingers. You can not only survive, but you can overcome if you seek him first with all your heart. And I leave you with Solomon's father's words. Words that God ordained for us to be able to receive today, and they are these. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. A man who knew fame and glory, a man who knew what it was like to be ostracized, a man who feigned madness, who is a refugee, who went the wrong way and had God challenge him in such a way on one occasion that he felt his bones were rotting within him. But a man who could say, yes, the Lord is my shield and my strength, and I can shine his light no matter what I'm going through, because he has promised never to leave me or forsake me. Amen. Let's pray. Father, when a couple get married, that isn't the end of the conversation. That isn't the end of the engagement. That isn't the end of the story. It's just the beginning. And Father, help us to realize that we are part of your story. We were born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that we are on a journey. And it's not our journey, it's your journey. And we ask that you would lead us and that you would guide us and that you'd strengthen us. You'd help us to see you first and foremost, before anything else. That we would be so open and desiring of you that we would know what it is to shine your light, to be encouraged, to be uplifted. We just picture that again, Lord, standing in a field or on a hillside watching the sun come up. And your words, the words of a father right next to us saying, hey, the path of those who are mine, those who seek me, that's what it's like, the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter.
Help us, we pray, whatever we go through, whatever we face, to proclaim Jesus Christ, not in a militant way, but in the power and authority of your Spirit and in the gentleness and compassion that comes from you alone, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit and the gifting of the Spirit, even in the darkest of dungeons, the wildest of storms. For you are alive, and you are God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, whose Son stooped low to raise us up, and who indwells us by your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.